Hello everyone and welcome to this episode, the challenges one, of the Women Talking About Learning podcast. I'm Andrew Jacobs. The idea of recording a topic on challenges for the podcast was intriguing. We sometimes get an idea of what our guests might discuss, but we didn't know before this one. Luckily, we have two tremendous guests this time to walk us through the topic. Our first guest is Kathy Hoy. Kathy is a seasoned learning leader with over two decades of experience in learning and organisational development. She now runs CLO 100, the home of the Learning Leaders Programme, which is a programme dedicated to the development of L&D leaders, equipping them with the tools and knowledge they need to create high-performing learning organisations. Our next guest is Hatice Demirchan. Hatice is a learning and development professional who has cultivated expertise in a range of HR areas. In 2021, she founded her own HR consultancy and coaching business, specialising in individual coaching sessions, soft skills training, and consultancy on learning and development programme design and implementation. We were completely absorbed in this conversation. We hope you will be too. Recorded in March of this year, this is Women Talking About Learning. This is Kathy and Hatice talking about challenges.
Hey Hatice, nice to be talking to you today. I believe we are talking about challenges today, which is an interesting topic. What are your kind of initial thoughts in this space?
Yeah. Hi, Katie. It has been a very speed intro. How are you today? First of all, I would like to ask you because I know you very little.
Yeah, good, actually. Really good. Good day. It's been a good week, actually. And I have to admit, I'm quite looking forward to the weekend. Nothing planned, which is actually my perfect weekend. What about you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm super excited to be in this podcast with you. The subject, as you said, is very attractive, challenge. Actually, it's a really massive topic to talk about, but what I would like to talk with you to underline about the women challenges in the workplace, work environment, and something like that, related with something like that. And what's your perspective about
it? Interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing your views on that. I suppose for me personally, I may come at it from a slightly different angle. I think, you know, whilst I see many challenges in the organisation, you know, particularly for women in different positions, I probably see less in kind of learning in that learning environment. So I'll be really interested to hear your perspective on that. I guess for me, from a challenges perspective, it's probably more challenges for learning and development generally, and actually, you know, how we can maybe help to sort of overcome some of those. I think particularly at that very senior, you know, learning leader level, really. I think there's, I mean, but as you said, I mean, challenges could cover so many things, couldn't it? it's a nice broad remit for us.
So both of us are L&D people, so it will be an easier approach for us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the things, you know, for me, I feel that there's still, and I think the industry has been talking about this for quite a while, but I do feel that there is still a challenge in learning and development to really be seen as a credible value add function in the organization. So for me, probably most things center around that. I think that we need to be able to overcome that as an industry, as a function, as a learning leader. And I think, you know, potentially for me, one of the things is, you know, actually the something that contributes to that challenge is the fact that we don't really have a presence at the executive level. You know, I mean, people keep talking about, you know, I don't have a seat at the table. I suppose it's the same kind of thing. You know, I don't have a voice of influence at an executive level within my organization. And I think, you know, that's probably a massive part of that challenge of trying to be seen as a credible value add function. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you are right about that because it's a strategic issue, but it's not represented in the top level. It's the HR topic. I am accepting that, but it's really important. It is always understood that learning and development equals to training. There is an approach like that. There is an imagination like that, pursue like that. So when it is something like that, it is underestimated. And it's something that if somebody should be promoted, if somebody will be go from somewhere to somewhere, he needs some training. Let's do give some training and he will be better. He will get better in their competencies. But it's not like that. Learning and development, it's not something so easy, so big, so small. I think you are right about that. It should be understood and represented in a more higher level.
Yeah, and you're dead right there as well. I think people do look at that and think that, you know, learning and development equals, you know, training or, you know, worse yet, a course. And we, you know, then the expectation from the business is, oh, great, well, that's that problem solved. They'll now be able to do X, Y, and Z, you know, if only, right? That would be great. I don't know, have you ever worked in organisations or seen, I suppose, an organisation where L&D is really represented at that senior level? Have you seen it done well?
Maybe some global companies like Unilever or P&G, it's maybe better represented because they are global and they should some heads on the some functions. So they have some director level people on these positions. So it's more strategical approach. And I think these global companies should be example for SMEs or some other companies. But it's not common, of course. How you observe it in the industry? What's your thought about that?
I suppose I've had, certainly from a personal experience, I've had a number of sort of head of L&D roles in different organisations, always kind of corporate. That's my background really is kind of corporate space. But I probably only actually had one, I have to admit, where I needed to report to the board level. So I do find it's quite rare actually. So, but I have to admit, it was interesting for me because I remember the first time having to do that and thinking, oh, I'm not sure I'm prepared for this. I'm not sure I'm prepared to go in to a boardroom and actually talk about learning and development because actually it's not what you need to be talking about in the boardroom. You know, whilst learning and development is your area, it's your remit, you need to be talking about the output and that value that it's going to be adding to the organisation. And it was such a flip in my mind, I suppose, like a switch really, to kind of go, actually, don't talk about learning and development in this room, because all these other directors that are sat around this table aren't really interested in that. They want to know actually what I'm doing to help improve the business, to help make the business more money, to help their function more profitable, or to help the performance improve. And that's what I think that the conversation needs to be about. And I think that is one of the challenges. So one of them is actually getting that voice at that level. But then on the other hand, it's when you've got that voice, make sure you use it well. don't be talking about, you know, actually learning and development at all, really. Be talking about how you're going to be improving the business or improving satisfaction or, you know, performance, whatever it is. I think kind of that focus on the outcome is what I've seen seems to resonate more.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Return of investment, I think, if not presented in the board level and well presented, it's not possible because people are coming to a company and they are leaving the company. So the investment, the whole investment you done for them is going to waste when they left the company. You have to make a new hire and whole the process are starting from the zero point. So all the things are about making a good performance for the company, for real sector, I am talking about that. But if the people are leaving the company instantly, so it's not a good thing for this company. What's difficult here? I think it's not so easy to evaluate the return of investment. For example, you are making some investment for a training or development program, but there is not an impact all about the results of the company. For example, sales company or turnover of the company, there is not an impact result. So it's not so easy to show about that. There are some companies nowadays, it's a good thing, they are using some analytics to show that return of investment. Maybe if the company has enough power spending money on that kind of things, it's good to use them and understand the relation between that better. But most of the companies are not doing such kind of thing, so they have still some way
about it. Yes, and I do agree with you, and I actually agree that we make return on investment very hard as well. But I have to say, I think we get a little bit preoccupied with return on investment. I think that L&D seems to think it's something that we have to demonstrate, and then we all kind of kick ourselves for not being able to do it right, and we can't kind of demonstrate it and we struggle. Whereas actually, I think that from a business perspective, as in like from the rest of the business, I don't mean to talk about L&D outside of the business. We're obviously a core part of it, but you know what I mean when I say that. I think that the business are looking to see that L&D have delivered some level of value to the organization. I don't necessarily think they would be expecting to see an exact return for the investment that we've made in whatever the development initiative is. I think we like to think that's needed, or we think it's needed. But actually, you know, now on the other side, now running a business, I have to admit, I would look at, well, okay, what's the value that we've got from this? Oh, well, I can do my job better. I can do my job quicker. I can save an hour in my day now because I'm using this brilliant new AI tool we've invested in. Great. I'm not busy there going, right, okay, well, how much should we spend on the AI tool? What does that equate to for you learning how to use it? And now you're saving an hour. I just know if someone's saying to me they're saving 1 or 2 hours a day because we've just bought a tool, I'm thinking, brilliant, this is great. And this is probably only going to get better. So I do wonder if we make it harder for ourselves, you know. And actually, I always come back to the kind of return on expectations. Actually, for me, that's probably higher. So if I've had a conversation with a stakeholder and they've said, actually, this is what I'm expecting from this initiative, and we work it out together and we decide, importantly, not just what's in scope, but equally what's out of scope. So we're really setting expectations. If I can then deliver on that at the end, I've met their expectation, and we're happy, we're joined up. We know that actually L&D are doing good things. We're helping the business move faster. So I don't know. I feel sometimes return on investment is, we make too much of it, actually. What do you think, I mean, from your perspective, because you listed at the beginning there about, you know, some challenges specifically faced by women within kind of in learning and organisations. Do you see, you know, where I'm talking about maybe having a challenge of learning, aligning and getting a voice at the exec level, do you find that that's maybe harder for women to do that? Or what are you seeing?
Actually, from my perspective, let's start from the beginning. When we first decided that the subject of this podcast would be challenge, first of all, I looked at the dictionary. What's the meaning of the word of challenge? So the dictionary says that challenge is a situation that requires great effort and determination to be done successfully. Great effort and determination. I would like to underline that. So after reading this definition, I thought about what this means for the woman or to me as a woman. And I actually thought that the impact of being a woman, both for the learning processes and for the whole the dynamics in life, are the same, are all related with the which geography you are born or which family you are or the culture you are born into. So it's affecting all your education, if you are married early, if you have the violence, you faced some tough things when you are growing up. It's all related with all this culture. Why I am telling all these things? Because I think this is important, because when we look at the number of the women who are in the business, in the real sector and industry, it's really less from the men. According to the numbers, it says that just 37% of women are in the workplace, but if you look at the men, it's 72. There's a difference nearly 25, or not nearly exactly, 25%. It's really huge. And also in some regions in the world, it's nearly about 50%, more than 25%. actually. So from my opinion, this challenge for a woman in learning start from this point first.
That's interesting.
I really wonder what you are thinking.
That's
about
really
that.
Interesting. I am, and I'm aware, obviously, that you know we're nowhere near yet, unfortunately, any kind of gender parity, and that's going to take. Well, sadly, I think that the most recent stats were still about 100 years away from that, which is a bit of a depressing statistic. But I suppose I've seen, and I don't know, it might be because of my sort of circumstances. I've seen, I haven't seen much firsthand of that in the workplace, but I have seen it kind of almost through third party. So through colleagues, peers, I think that have maybe been in different situations than me, have maybe left to have children, have had to make very difficult decisions in terms of, you know, career and family life balance. And I think that probably plays it has a lot to do with it, but I mean there are many things. How do you see that kind of general view then, and those general statistics linking to the kind of learning and development world?
Let's leave behind the numbers, but I would like to talk about my experiences about that. Maybe it would be more useful because there are some nature about the women's itself. For example, getting pregnant, having a child, giving birth, the menstrual period that we live every month, or the menopause thing that Andrew talked about that before. For example, we as a woman, most of the women actually are having a painful menstrual period every month. So if they have a training that is organized by the company, it means that she will not be participating to this training because maybe he will not even go to the work. Many of my friends are doing this situation. I am not experiencing any painful thing, but I can observe it easily that most of the women friends of mine are living the same thing. Or if you are a pregnant lady, it's a celebrating thing, but it means that you are cut in the training and development list, and it will be delayed to the time that you will return to the company. So in this period, you are just left to yourself, and it is like you are not in the company at all. Maybe you have missing some promotion opportunities, some career opportunities. I am also a coach, a professional coach, and I remember that one of my clients postponed her plans to have a baby in order not to miss a micro MBA opportunity provided by her company. So it is the problem of women. It's not a problem of a man. So I think I may have more observation about that.
And have you, because I always wonder as well if there's, if people experience a lack of role model, I suppose, for want of a better word. And I know that, you know, and given the kind of current statistics, we see less women in senior leadership positions. I feel quite fortunate that actually I've worked for many, many senior women. And, you know, either they've been the HRD or the CPO, but actually, in fact, then the CEO or the level between them has also been a woman. And so I suppose I've seen a lot of that as well. And I think that plays a massive part in organizations. The more you kind of see people in those roles in any area, not just learning and development, I think it creates, well, A, you've got a more diverse senior leadership team, which we know is an advantage for an organization, but also you are showing that it's possible to do, and that clearly there's something about this organization that will either support it or enable it. I suppose I absolutely the challenges you've mentioned can totally resonate. Those totally resonate with me, and certainly, you know, colleagues that I've worked with. I suppose I don't, have you got thoughts on, because, you know, it's discussing challenges, I guess is one thing. We've got lots of challenges, but actually it's kind of, how do we start to to make a change from those challenges so that they become less challenging. What are the things that, do you have any thoughts on kind of how organizations could better support women in these positions?
Yeah. That's a great question. Actually, we are talking all the challenges, but what are the advices? Of course, there should be some way to overcome them. It's not easy, but there are still some ways, I think. First of all, self-awareness. As women, we should be aware that we have rights. We have equal rights with men. And companies should make these policies in their daily routine activities. We should be able to ask about that. So the self-awareness about it is the first and most important thing. And it is a very common thing nowadays. It is DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion. I think it's a part of it totally. So if the government itself make the policies like that about the equality or the positive maybe discrimination against women would be very good idea. Maybe for example small companies or SMEs, it would be a good way to make policies like that, because if they be free, if they are free, maybe they will not do anything about that. But if it's the government policy, they should be doing something about it. So the second thing is the organization itself to make some policies and government policies also. If I was in the charge of a company, I would like to put some mentoring and coaching programs for women to understand themselves better. Because as women, we are mostly taught that we are very fragile, we are very emotional. And in a one-to-one feedback, most of the manager says, please don't be so soft like a woman. Please be hard. Please like a man. They don't want women to be itself. But it's not I don't think the right thing in a work environment. It's the bias, I think, against the women. So with mentoring and coaching, I would like to women understand that they don't need to be hard as like a man. It's okay to show the emotions. It's okay not to shout to someone else in the company or some colleagues. It's okay. It's not to be done in those ways. And some coaching and mentoring programs should make also women make feel relief about that.
It's funny actually, because I see and I do appreciate that view exists. I have to admit that's not my experience. My experience is almost exactly the opposite. It's working in organisations that recognise, yeah, and right. I think with my kind of peer group as well, in the main, I would say that the organisations that I've worked in understand the importance of, I hate the word softer skills, but kind of relational skills, and actually that typically speaking, women tend to be more naturally stronger at emotional intelligence. And actually they put more effort in an organization into trying to help men to be more open about their feelings and their emotions, rather than telling women to be less so. So I think I've got quite a different view there, actually, and a different experience. But I know that there are some great people in our industry actually doing some really good things to help women kind of have a voice. Because I think one of the really important things is actually women championing women. Like I totally agree with you that actually organisations need to be doing lots. But I think as women, we need to champion and support other women where we can. And I know Helen Marshall at Thrive, she runs the Women In Group. So it's a kind of online group and a WhatsApp forum. It's a whole community now, actually. It's really grown, but it's actually for any women in learning and development, no matter if you're, you know, internal or you're an external, a partner, whatever. And there's some brilliant conversations in there, but I think the bigger part of it is that actually she's creating an environment where women are supporting and bolstering other women, which, you know, which is really nice. And I think quite effective as well.
First of all, I think you are so lucky not to experience any kind of things. That's a good thing. I am agree about that, all the good things that Helen Marshall is doing. But still, I can say that from the environment, maybe I come from Turkey. It's a country that is very different from the most European countries. Mm-hmm. About the cultural side, I can say. I also had the chance of working at DHL, and DHL had many countries. There are most of branches in many countries, and I used to have many mentorship and coaching, actually, conversations with many colleagues from these countries. And I can easily say that it's not maybe for European countries, I can put it as a part, but most of the countries are using this kind of problems about not being equality between men and women and facing this kind of problems so much. But still, I'm including United States and European countries to the same basket. I can say that, for example, glass sailing. It doesn't matter if you are European or some other Middle East countries colleague. It doesn't really matter. If you are a woman, you are having the less chance according to a man. Unfortunately, it's a very common metaphor, and most of the companies are unfortunately using the same situation. So the companies are putting some goals for the women to get the board level, and they are pushing. They are making it an obligation, and if they can achieve that, they are applauding themselves about that. So I can say that there is still way to go that, but women are making their voices more, like Helen, and like you, like me. So it will be good example. We will be good role models, I think, and it will get better.
I'm sure it will. It has to, right? It has to. I mean, it has to. I think. I mean, part of it for me. I mean, listening to you talk and the examples you've given, I wonder if part of it is almost a bit of I don't know how else to describe it other than kind of blindness on my side, because I don't know. I'm wondering if this relates to mindset in some way as well. I'm not, by the way, saying that all these challenges don't exist. They absolutely exist, and we can see it. It's black and white in organisations. But I do wonder as well if a lot of women are kind of going into situations because of everything that's happened in the past and thinking and actually questioning, am I equal? Whereas I think if you go in with the mindset, well, I am equal, you tend to challenge more yourself, and you tend to put yourself in situations and not think about should I, shouldn't I? And I think, you know, when I try and think back to when I was a lot younger, my mum was very, so I grew up just with my mum, and she was absolutely adamant that I would grow up believing that men and women were equal and there was no sexism in the world. Now, it was obviously, she did really well at that, but it was a bit of a shock to me when I joined like the real world as an adult and got my first job and realized, well, hang on a minute, not everything is equal, mum. But I think that kind of mindset was amazingly helpful. And it was just kind of like, well, of course I can do it. There was never any kind of, you know, hesitation. There was never kind of, well, can I do it as a woman? It's never been a thought, I guess, in my head. But I've learned over the years through colleagues and peers, and also seeing that the situation and the unfair treatment of an unequal treatment of women in organisations. So I obviously I know it exists, but I wonder if there's something more we can all do around, you know, mindset and doing that with young girls, you know, or girls at a very young age, to kind of not be questioning should I be equal, but almost just you know, assuming you are and go from there. And I wonder if change might happen a little quicker. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great and really practical advice. I think I have also a mother of two. I have two daughters, and this is the only dream of mine that they believe that, and they They are growing up in that mindset. They will not need the questioning, like you said, am I equal? They should always
absolutely. Think that well, they are, and then you see. I think in you just reframe where the issue is. So rather than as a woman thinking that the issue is with you and you're not fitting in and you're not doing something right, if you go in with the mindset, I am equal, then if the things around you don't adhere to that, then you know that the problem is the environment. It's not you. Whereas I think if you go in thinking, am I equal, you'll always think the problem's with you rather than the environment. So I do think it's a bit of a mind shift. But I'm imagining with your views and your opinions and your background, you will be raising your two daughters beautifully, and they will be a force to be reckoned with, Hatice.
Thank you so much. I hope that's my dream.
I'm sure they will. And it's great, actually. Now, I don't know if you notice. I mean, obviously, you're a mum. I'm not, but I notice. I've got a lot of nephews and nieces, and a stepdaughter, and I noticed lots these days of like books as well, really kind of highlighting female. Heroes, heroines, I suppose, and also, you know, brilliant women in history, and highlighting what they've done, because you realise, you know, that actually when you go through school and even as a kid, the stories you read when you were growing up, it's usually about men doing things. and you read in history, don't you, certain, you know, doctors and scientists, and it's all about the men. And actually, I'm loving now that they're creating stories for little girls, well, girls and boys, to understand actually there were loads of brilliant women in history that did all these amazing things, but it wasn't women that were writing the history books, it was men. And so women have kind of been, I guess, kind of hidden in a lot of ways. So I don't know about you, but I'm seeing lots of different kind of books and resources, certainly to raise awareness from a young age.
Yeah, you are right. It's getting better, actually. It's getting really better. As I remember, for a very long time, maybe last 20 years, something like that, some 15 or 20 years, in banking companies, advertisements, only men could voice the advertisement because men voices more confident and more trustable. In the modern days, they started to use the women in their advertisements. But fortunately, it's really changing. Like you said, there are more writers, more astronauts, more advertisers, more HR everywhere, more women here. We are voicing our voice. We are getting our voice to be heard by
That's
everyone.
Brilliant.
And
yeah,
everywhere.
It's brilliant. It's definitely we're definitely seeing a change, and it's you know, it's for the positive, which is great. And I think it's probably on all of us to, you know, men and women, to just think, well, how do we make this happen quicker? What can we do? Because it's easy, isn't it, to think about, oh, I feel really bad about that, or I'm really angry about that, but actually to change the way you think to, what am I going to do to change that? And I have to remind myself of that a lot, because there are things I get very frustrated about very quickly. But I have to now tell myself, you know, actually, there's something I can probably do here, and something I can do differently, and someone I can support better. And I think maybe if more of us did that, maybe we'll get to gender parity sooner than 100 years is hoping.
Yes, sure, why not? And sisterhood is really important, related with it. It's really important to get the support from other women and from the people that experienced the same pains or same challenges with you. Listen to them and get their advice, get their support is really helpful about overcome these challenges.
No, that's great. Oh, I've really enjoyed talking with you, Hatice. It's really good. I think we should meet up and do this over coffee somewhere.
Yeah, sure, why not? Of course, I would love to. I really appreciate it. I learned a lot from you from this session also. I'm really happy that we met.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
When it was suggested that we record a challenges episode, we didn't think it would live up to its name. This took some real effort to arrange, particularly in the background. But we did get there in the end. We love that the conversation started in one direction and then did a complete 180 and followed a different avenue. This is why we get such enjoyment in recording this special podcast. A massive thank you to both Kathy and Hatice for their time and an engaging conversation. Their contact details are in the show notes, along with links to our website, future episodes, and our donation page. We'll be back soon with a special episode of Women Talking About Learning, and it'll be the Learning Technologies 2024 one. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.